Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another Norm at Night. Back here after a week off due to illness, injury, and tiredness. Let's get us all straight and squared away right now. First of all, about my sciatica. That's what the doctor diagnosed me as having. It's this great big long nerve that runs from the top of your buttocks all the way down to your ankle. And there's a number of different ways that it can become irritated and inflamed. And right now, mine is irritated and inflamed. And, you know, as they used to say in the neighborhood, it hurts like a bitch sometimes. You know, they gave me some medicine. I tried a Vicodin. I thought there I was, Dr. House, but way, way too loopy for me. No, thank you. I'd rather hurt than feel like that. I really don't understand why people take drugs, but what can I say? But it's gotten better and better and better, and, you know, I'm walking around now. I can't really lift anything yet or really do any work. I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of MSNBC watching. Joe Scarborough's back on the show, so that makes me really happy. Now Mika's off on vacation. He really is better when she's there. And she's way better when he's there. And so they really are, there's some synergy between the two of them that I wish we had. I don't know. What are you going to do? But if you want to give me a call, it's 347-945-6713, that's the number, and you can be on with Norm. Yeah, what are we going to talk about tonight? Well, there's no question about we're going to talk about Gaza. Unbelievable. How do you live your life in a situation like that? On either side. But especially the Gazans, you know, kid goes to school, people tied in hospitals, and Israeli rockets blow them up. Israeli artillery blows them up. Israeli tanks blow them up. And lots of people are dying. Lots of civilians are dying. All the people in Gaza are civilians. You know, we like to call them terrorists. Well, the fact is Hamas terrorists, they're freedom fighters in their own mind. They think that they have been victims of the Israelis. The Palestinians lived there for hundreds of years. The Israelis came and pushed them out. They really don't have any way to fight back. They live in a blockade. Everybody just keeps hating each other because there's 75 Israeli soldiers that died in this completely unnecessary and useless war. Their mothers, brothers, and sisters will never forget that. They will hate the Palestinians forever. It is just a cycle of hate. Guess we won't ever understand that in the United States because we don't have anything like that. I'm just baffled by the whole thing. How would I feel if my father and brothers had been killed by somebody, my sisters, my children? It never goes away. Until we can get a generation without war, there's not going to be any of this. So give me a call. Well, good news is they have tried now to sign another 72-hour truce. 3 days, hot dog. But at least, maybe this time, the killing and the maiming can stop for 3 days. I sure hope so. Give me a call. Let's talk about this. What are your solutions to the problem? Who do you think's at fault? 347-945-6713. Why does Hamas keep sending rockets into Israel that the Israeli missile defense system that we gave them prevents 95% of them from even reaching the ground? Very few, well, I shouldn't say very few. There are not massive casualties from these rocket attacks. It is the scale and scope of the Israeli counterattack. Is that justified, or is that genocide? It's a very, very difficult question that I think we need to explore, and I think Dormant Night is a good place to do it. One of the great things about living in America is the people can be heard. 347-945-6713. Somebody give me a call and maybe we can talk about it. My hip is hurting, so if I don't get somebody to talk with me, well, I mean, it's not a threat. It's just I don't know how long I'm going to stay here, because what more can I say? One thing you all could do, anybody who's out there listening, go find a map. Find out where Gaza is. Tiny little speck of desert right on the ocean. It makes no, the Gaza Strip, it's been caught. I can remember when I was in high school first hearing about the Gaza Strip, you know, and nobody wants the Palestinians. Nobody. The poor Palestinians. Does Israel have a right to exist? I think they do. Do they have a right to exist right there? Yes, they do. Do the Palestinians have the right to their own state right there? They do. Do the Israelis have the right to be an armed state? Yes, they do. Do the Palestinians have the right to be an armed state? I think that they do. Lots of people don't. Because right now they don't have anything. They're virtually Israeli slaves. And I wouldn't want to live like that either. But my God, I sure don't want to live in a war zone like that. I sure don't want to live someplace where incoming missiles might very well end anything that I see as life. It's a simple question, a silly question. You live in Gaza, where do you put your underwear? Where do you wash your clothes? Everybody's running around in clothes. Where do they put those clothes? The place is just a pile of rubble right now. The Israelis can't hurt them anymore in terms of property. They've destroyed it all. So all they can do is kill people. And when you kill people, you generate hatred. Now, if I was a Palestinian, would I have hatred for the Israelis? You're damn right I would. If I was an Israeli, would I have hatred for the Palestinians? You're damn right I would. Both groups think they're chosen people. We have to find some way to live together. It is utterly amazing to me that religion and everybody, Judaism is essentially a religion of love. Yeah, well, tell that to a Palestinian who lives in Gaza. You know, Mohammedism is, it's a religion of love in China. Yeah, tell that to the people on the other end of a jihad. What's going on? There has to be a way to fix this. And I think the only way that we're going to come up with any kind of a way to fix any of these things is if we all talk about it. Secretary of State Kerry's been a complete boob. The Israelis told us to go mind our own business. Hamas has no use for us. The Egyptians don't want to hear from us. We have just made a complete disaster and mess of that part of the world. The Israelis don't trust President Obama. Many people in Israel think he's an anti-Semite. I don't think that's true, but he does a lot of things that could make one feel that we're not 100% behind the Israelis. I'll tell you, I'm not 100% behind the Israelis to just continue this slaughter. They need to get their troops out of Gaza. Simple. Give the order. It never seems to be that simple. It's always simple enough to say, go in, but now come out. That's a hard thing. Yeah, here we are, Norman Knight, talking about the Gaza Strip. Holy mackerel. I've been talking about the Gaza Strip for 50 years, since I was 14. First time I heard about the Gaza Strip. Unbelievable. Hold on a second. I got to be, everyone knows the Norman Knight Show. We operate on a shoestring budget here. I use my laptop computer and a cell phone. What do I need anything more than that for? I got nobody in the chat room, nobody on the line. I'm kind of broken heart about that, but, it's my own fault. Hopefully we'll see somebody soon. Oh, that's pretty cool. I'll send something to Facebook. I'll send something to Twitter. I might as well send something to Blog Talk Radio, too. There. They all failed. That's interesting. I wonder why. I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. But give me a call, 347-945-6713. Now we're talking about the Middle East. Whenever you talk about the Middle East, everybody talks about oil. When you talk about oil, you talk about climate change. When you talk about climate change, you talk about carbon-produced electricity. I guess the question that comes to my mind, remember, if you want to talk about Gaza, 347-945-6713, you'll be on with the fat left-hander who's got the bum back, the aching thigh, and the bum knee. Yeah, I guess when you've been talking about the Gaza Strip for 50 years, I started to take an interest in the Arab-Israeli conflict when I was 14 years old, when I went to high school. when we started to read the Bible, not as a religious text as much as a historical text, started to find out, started to study that area in history and culture and language, and which is another thing, you know. I don't know if you gave your kids a black map, or if you looked at a blank map yourself, if you could find the Gaza Strip. Heck, could you find Israel, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran? The world is on fire. We're at the Russians' throat. They're at our throat. The whole world, we're just killing each other everywhere. And for what? That's what this is utterly beyond me. Somebody call. Somebody help. All right, you say, yeah, Norm, you talk about a lot of things. What would you do? Well, I would withdraw both parties. I would establish borders. I would declare a Palestinian state. I would threaten that state with, well, I'm not threatening, that's the wrong word. I would make the establishment of its independence contingent on the, contingent on the condition that they don't start blowing up or try to blow up Israel or send, wait a minute, I got to get a sip here. My throat's a little parched. Let me get a drink. Oh, yes. But anyway, I would demilitarize the border. I would guarantee both states sovereignty. I would give Gazans complete, free complete free movement in and out of Gaza, just borders that they control by themselves, fishing rights in the Mediterranean. I would make it a crime to persecute either Arabs or Jews by either side. Here's a real hard one. I would stop supplying arms. Oh, hey, here comes somebody. I would stop supplying arms to the Israelis if all they're going to do is blow up Palestinians with them. Hey, you're on with Norm at Night. It's good to be back.
How you doing?
Well, my sciatica's twisted me up a little bit, but I'm doing all right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that problem some years ago. And, you know, I did the whole therapy exercise thing.
I know.
I like the infrared, though. Oh, that was good. I'm laying on this table, and this girl comes in, and she rubs some kind of gel or whatever on my back, lower back, and then she's zooming around with this. Oh, that was good.
Yeah, I bet they're not doing much of that in Gaza today.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I haven't had the news on it with the exception of CNBC.
Well, they put a new 72-hour truce in place this afternoon.
Oh, 72 whole hours. Wow.
Yeah, 3 days of so you can move the bricks away so they can get the dead bodies out of the way so you can make room for some more.
Yeah, that's pretty much the case, huh? So
what would you do?
What would
How
I
do?
How do
you fix it?
I don't fix it. It's not my problem.
You can't
just
let people die.
It's, well, geez, I don't know. How many countries are there in the world? Am I responsible for all of them?
I think there's 103. No, but we are responsible to a great degree to what is going on.
Hmm.
And we have to fix it.
Oh, because we gave so much money to Israel? Is that the deal or what?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
We put them there.
We did, or the British?
Us and the British.
Okay, thank you. No, I firmly believe that we have no business getting involved in any of the conflicts in the Middle East. None at all. Not Syria, not Israel, not Gaza, not the West Bank, not Iraq, not Iran, and not Afghanistan.
Okay, so are you saying that we should just withdraw then?
Yes, absolutely.
We're involved right now. So your course of action is to devolve.
My course of action is to let them settle their own affairs.
And how do you do that?
You say you let them do it. What? You know, you. It isn't... do you really think that you can go to Israel or... you know, the whatever we want to call it, Gaza, the Palestinian Authority,
well,
whatever.
There's the West Bank and there's the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. You know, should we be there dictating terms to another people, a sovereign state? I mean, we're not, we have no interest.
First of all, we have no interest
in that whatsoever. I mean, we do have strategic agreements with Israel, and we have some humanitarian interest, but, you know, again, via the United Nations. But other than that, you know, to act unilaterally.
What if we don't help the Israelis? What if we don't help the Israelis and the Arabs start to roar? And they start building gas chambers in Sinai.
Israel is the most powerful nation in the Middle East.
Only because of what we give them.
Oh, excuse me. Do you know how many freaking warheads they have? They'll take the whole goddamn Middle East with them if there's ever any real threat.
Oh, that's a fine solution.
Well, that's what they're offering. Invade us, attack us. Look what we got. A lot more bombs than you have. Israelis they are like pit bulls. They are going to survive no matter whatever threats are coming from the radicals and what have you.
Well, I've just been doing a lot of
To think that they're going to put up with the crap that they get from the Iranians and from the Saudis, because they're getting it from every sect of the Middle East. So, yeah, I think they will do that. I think they can do that.
And, so you think they're going to drop a nuke on Riyadh soon?
No. It would take an incredible situation to where they
like
truly, until when they truly felt threatened. And what you're talking about, with the Palestinian state and all that sort of thing. You've got to remember, if the West Bank, let's say the West Bank was independent, do you know what would happen?
No, what?
Well, think about it. All, every kind of weapon in the world is going to flow into that place. I mean, it'll turn into a, it'll be a time bomb. What else do you want to call it?
How do we fix it? I'm not talking about we, the United States. I'm talking about us, humanity.
We don't fix it. They fix it. They have to come up with their own solutions. We can't do that for them. We don't have the expertise. We don't have the money. And we certainly will never involve American soldiers. If American soldiers ever got into that area, you know.
American soldiers were in that area.
Not in
Iraq. Border,
oh,
Israel.
What, you're talking Iraq. I'm talking West Bank. Come on.
Israel is a tiny little country.
Yes, it
is. The West Bank's a stone's throw from Iraq.
And the Israelis control like 95% of it, and there's only a few neighborhoods that the Palestinian Authority controls. All the walls and the ditches and the, you know, the checkpoints. They have no control on their borders.
Right.
They have no control of their water, their electricity, anything.
Exactly. Anytime they want, the Israelis should just cut them off.
That's
wrong.
Right.
That's not how it should
yes,
be.
I agree. I agree that is wrong. But it's not our place to be there and to dictate terms to them.
If it was the other way and it was Arabs denying those things to Jewish people, there'd be, holy cow.
Yeah, well, what does that say about public opinion?
I don't know.
Because that's all we're talking about here, public opinion. We want to get into that topic?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Media control. Do you want to go there? I mean,
go ahead.
Well, look.
I can just get too out of control. I just hit the button.
Yeah, well, you know, our news.
That.
See, this is the thing, you know, if you're an American, our news is highly filtered. You know, I don't know that I'd call it news anymore. It's just a stream of propaganda. I mean, I've already told you, I've turned off, I don't watch network news anymore. There's no point. It's crap. It's just government dialogue. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's nonsense. It's Orwellian. I have no interest
so
at all.
Where are we supposed to get our information?
Well, I do fairly well with the Internet. I sometimes watch Al Jazeera. Don't tell anyone, but yeah.
Yeah, but why is that any less filtered than NBC News?
Well, you have to take all these things, and it's like anything else. You know, you can figure it out, what's real and what's not real. And, I mean, I think Fox News is like the most obvious. MSNBC is not as obvious, but they're getting worse, you know.
They are.
They are, you know, let's face it, I used to like Rachel Maddow. I liked her her commentary. I thought she was honest, and I thought she was objective, or at least trying to be objective.
So you've changed your mind?
But no, she changed my mind.
What did she do?
She goes on topics that, you know, that repeat themselves. I don't know if you ever watch it continuously. Let's say put it on at 3 o'clock and have the television on for, let's say, 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever. You know, and you'll watch each of these shows start, and they all have the same lead. Ding, ding, ding. And then I thought, this is exactly like Fox. They're following the same program.
Wait a minute. When I watch, hold on. Do you get Rachel Maddow live at 6 o'clock?
Excuse me, say that again?
I watch Rachel Maddow live at 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I think
you get her at 6 p.m.
Yeah, 6 o'clock around there.
Do they do Morning Joe live in Seattle?
They do, well, they have, oh, what are you talking about?
The Morning Show.
Yeah, well, that comes on way early, like 3, 4 in the morning.
But it does come on live.
Yeah, it comes on.
They don't delay it and bring it at
right.
6 o'clock.
No, they don't do that.
Because
on rare occasions, I'm awake, but that's kind of rare, you know.
You know, that's probably why they keep moving the shows around in the time slots.
Yeah, it's a... See, now, I would watch... Scarborough. I like the Scarborough thing actually works. You know, I enjoy that show.
Right.
Because they have a forum. They have a forum of people. And I think Joe Scarborough's a pretty good guy. You know, I like his opinions, whether I agree or not. I like the way he delivers and manages the show. So, but the other ones, when you just have one person staring at the camera for a whole hour, you know, what the hell is that? You know, that's Big Brother. That does not work for me, not at all.
Chris Matthews has been better lately.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of him. The only thing I remember, you know, was that he interrupted his guest all the time, and the other
was
that...
Well, I like that.
Well, I don't like that. It's confusing, you know. And the other is he would ask these multiple questions. So by the time the guy got to the point, you know, when Matthews was done, Matthews had asked him 5 separate questions, and then his guest wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah.
So there's something a little manic in his personality. I'm not really good with that. So, you know, the other is what's his name? Bloomberg. Now hit that financial.
I don't watch Bloomberg.
Yeah, well, you know, that financial channel was very good. Not so much for the financial news, but more so. The political stuff they did on weekends. And now I had it on, I put it on last night. It was like 1, 2 in the morning, something like that. And the whole format has changed. It's like I'm watching, one of those gossip things.
Really?
I
always liked that other crazy financial guy.
There are a lot of them.
Guy.
Oh, Jim Cramer?
Yes.
Okay.
Is
I like Cramer, yeah. Yeah, I've had to defend him more than a few times. Yeah. He's sincere. I mean, yeah, you know. I mean, sometimes he has some off-the-wall ideas. But generally speaking, the guy is where he is. I mean, he's real. You know
what? that just reminded me. I have no idea why. I got an email today from a kid.
Mm-hmm.
13 years old. And I taught his father.
Oh, Christ.
Anyway, so the kid wanted to, you know, his mother, or his grandmother, actually, who is teaching with me now, told her he wants to start a radio show. And so she told him to write a letter to me.
Oh, okay.
So he wrote a letter to me, and I mean, I'll answer it, but it things like that that make the teaching business worth doing. You actually are touching someone's life. You know, and I mean, you had an effect beyond, and not all teachers get that, I don't think, because I pay a heavy price for it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's true for a lot of teachers. They, you know, the students leave and you never see or hear from them ever again, you know, at least within public schools and whatever. But, but when a student remembers you and comes back, or to either to thank you or whatever, that's huge. I mean, I'm just thinking
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Because I can remember, I mean, just things with, like, you know, my nephews who are, like, you know, all grown and whatever. And they remember things I told them when they were, like, really little kids.
It's astounding.
And, yeah, I know, I, you know.
And then you start to, geez, there's probably some things I shouldn't have told them.
Yeah, you know. Well, just this morning, my sister called me. Well, it seems you're Grandpa Carl now. All the kids call you, which is okay. I mean, you know, I mean, I love talking with them, and they tell me what their problems are, this, that, and, you know. And we shoot the breeze and whatever, and that's cool. I mean, it's my role, right? You know, as uncle or.
I understand that we're getting a little topic here, but that is not unusual for Norm at night or for a class that Norm teaches. It goes where the conversation wants to go, which I think is the way it should always be.
Excuse me. So anyway, let me go back here. I want to see what your agenda is for this evening.
Well, I mean, we've like Gaza. Hold on. Keep talking.
Oh, all right. Well, we talked about Gaza, and now what else do we have? Midterm elections. Oh, that's got it. Nah, I don't think.
I want to know what is going to happen. What if? Oh, did you see any of the clips on the news? Nancy Pelosi today.
Oh well, I saw the thing that I think it
did
happened
Friday. Did you see
Friday?
Where she went flying across onto the Republican side?
That video is completely viral. Everybody's.
That was very impressive. I liked it a lot. She's like
that
a baby rooster.
Yeah.
Even though she's a hen.
Yeah, well, of course, but hey, you know, she, if she's a hen, she was defending her young. That was the deal. My legacy is that 2-year period, and you are not gonna mess.
Oh,
me.
That was so funny! I really got a big chuckle out of that.
Yeah,
it reminded me of my grandmother.
See, and nobody could, you know, the audio was not there, so we don't really know exactly what
she
said.
She did the proper thing. She turned the microphones off. That's what you're supposed to do when you do that.
Smart, smart woman. Yes.
I mean, well, but you're supposed to do that. It's house etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
And she, she was pretty mad.
Well, I'm, you know, whether, you know, I agree with her or not, you know, I like seeing people who are committed to an idea, you know, that they're not just, you know, shuffling paper and money around, you know.
And then, you know, the things I don't understand, like Mitch McConnell's got a 30% approval rating and he's leading in the polls.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
That was pretty funny, that exchange that woman had with him. What's her name?
Mm-hmm.
Grimes.
Yeah.
That farmer's picnic or whatever they call it.
Right.
Then your guy, Rand Paul, was pretty funny, too.
Yeah. Well,
did you hear his lines?
No.
He made a limerick up. It's hilarious.
Oh.
It's hilarious. I've never heard him talk like that.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up then. My conservative friends they've been talking about the Pelosi thing all weekend, but you know, not in favorable terms by any means. You know, they had her, look at that crazy woman, this and that, blah blah blah. But the thing on the midterms, and I don't know if I exactly agree with it, but you know, I don't take the polls, but the prediction now is that Republicans will get control of the Senate, and
I don't understand.
But not a huge thing. They're talking like 51, 52 seats, something like that.
That's all they have to have. Then it will be one bill after another and one veto after another.
Right, precisely. So we'll, you know, we'll go from the do-nothing Congress to the do-nothing president. I don't know. This, you know, as I have watched the last couple of years in Washington, it's almost pointless. It's like, why do we even need these goddamn people? What do they? They don't do anything. You know, I mean, why can't you agree on, you know, the various things, rebuilding our infrastructure, creating favorable trade treaties, there's so many things that could be done that could be
rebuilding
done on a nonpartisan level. But you know what I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm saying
rebuilding the infrastructure. Until the New Deal, that was a state issue.
Yeah, right. But the money was there. The incentive was there. Okay. And see, they weren't rebuilding the infrastructure. They were building new things. The Hoover Dam, the Tennessee Valley Authority, all that, this was all new.
Right, but that's the
infrastructure they're talking about.
The interstate highway system would come 15 years later after the war.
Oh, yeah.
All those bridges,
you know,
all this stuff they're talking about has been built since the war.
Right. Well, you know. Well,
other countries have new infrastructure because we blew up all their old.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, supposedly Eisenhower saw the Autobahn and said, wow, that's a great thing, and decided we should have one too. And there came the highways, you know. But the thing is that these are all things that we need, and we know we need them, and they should not be, again, partisan issues. They just shouldn't be. You know, and as far as the electrical grid, You know, that obviously, again, needs to be modernized and needs to be protected because there's a huge security risk there.
Right, and I'll tell you something else. I don't know if we can do it. How much power do we need?
Well, we waste about a third to 40% of everything we generate?
Right, that's because you can't store electrical power.
Right. So we ground it.
At least the way we do it. We don't make it, we don't have a smart grid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be nice if we did, but we don't.
Right, exactly.
I mean, Niagara Falls, you can't turn it off.
Yeah, it's a constant. It's always there.
Actually, you can, and they do. They control the amount of power they make, but the whole grid, it's connected. If any one big piece of it goes down, it's all going down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, being where I am, I experienced all the brownouts and the blackouts and all the rest of that.
Right, but
all of that had to do with Enron and,
But my question really is, not how much can we get away with, but how much do we actually need?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's an interesting thing in that, everybody's pushing, solar and wind and whatever. Now, suppose I don't use a lot of electricity as it is, but suppose I get enough solar power to where I'm off the grid entirely. Now, if I can do it, a lot of other people can do it. And guess what? All these big utilities are not necessary anymore. Now, will there be some resistance there? I think so.
I don't think you can do that, however.
Yeah.
For instance, DC Metro cannot produce its own power.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it can. Maybe there is a way for it to do it. Right now, there isn't.
Yeah, we have, a public utility, and although for natural gas, you still have to go through PG&E, which is, a public company. So the electricity, we pay much lower rates than PG&E on electricity. But anyone who needs natural gas has to pay the regular price that they charge their customers. And the thing is, the utility itself does not produce enough electricity. It can't possibly. So we get it from other states.
Right. And we do that. The greatest lecture I've ever seen was given by a guy who became my friend eventually after that. But he was a physicist, and he explained. I never realized that's how the grid worked.
Yeah. So our electricity comes from as far away as Wyoming, believe it or not.
Well,
and a lot of
hilarious.
And a lot of the natural gas comes from Mexico because we don't produce enough. It's really crazy. I mean, what's that?
I have to move my mouse once every 5 minutes or so, or it blanks out.
Oh, okay. The last show, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, that you and I were on, My end of it broke up incessantly. I mean, to where I, you know, I actually went and, you know, played it again. And I, everything I said was, like, unintelligible. It was just so broken up. But I couldn't get any indication of that, you know, while we were actually talking on the radio here. So I hope it's not like that again.
I don't think so, because I know what I was having some communication problems. You know, I use old equipment, and I wasn't sure they were going to rehire me, and so I was going to buy myself a new one.
Oh, okay.
And
oh,
so
you mean at the school, so...
Yeah, I was raising Cain again, and...
Okay.
But I just, actually...
I thought that was working out for you, that...
I mean, it is again, but, you know, I just haven't bought a new computer over the summer, and I don't think I'm going to.
Mm.
I'd
yeah,
like
well,
them to buy me
a... Whoa, right. But they're so cheap now. You can get a laptop for under $300.
The one I want's about $5.
Yeah, well...
I mean, I like touch screens and... Well, I mean, they may even be, you know, they could be $100 cheaper than the last time I looked, too.
The prices are really going down on all that stuff. You know?
I know. I really like the Lenovos. They're my favorite.
Yeah, I like, well, you know, I like big screens and fast processors and whatever.
Actually, it's been pretty interesting. When I started the show, I was hurting, but as soon as I get somebody to talk to, you have something to do, you forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not debilitating, the pain.
Oh, okay.
It's just that there's things I can't do.
Yeah.
And I think I effed myself. I was feeling really good last Friday. So I said, I'm going out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I walked all over the mall and came home and was in agony for 2 days.
Oh, Christ, yeah. Well,
not 2 days.
Know,
that's an exaggeration.
I know. I, you know, without getting into any detail, you know, my legs and feet swell tremendously. I mean, to where I can't put my shoes on. It's just like, you know, and I'm, you know, and it, I can alleviate it, but I have to elevate my feet up, and then I don't know where this fluid goes or where they even it comes from.
I don't either. Explain it to me.
You know, and I'm like, well, you know, if there's excess water here or whatever the fuck it is, can I, you know, get it out of there? Give me a goddamn hose or something. I'll siphon it out, you know.
I've known people that have had drains put in, actually.
Yeah, well, you know,
I have some in the drawer. They tell me when my left leg swells, I should wear my... Not sanitary, support socks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I have those socks, too. But I put them on.
You ever wear them? I never wear them.
Yes, yeah. And then when I take them off, I look, and it's bizarre. Because all the fluid is in your calf and not in your foot. And then you have these, you have like Popeye legs. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like, you know, what the hell is this?
It's especially bad for me because mine were always like that anyway. And
yeah. I just, you know, and
do you remember Dave Fabian?
Dave Fabian, vaguely, yes. Shit. You'll have to remind me a little bit.
He was... there were four Fabian brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They were friends with Tom, some of his interesting political leanings.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've been watching Dave. Well, I don't know if he'd friend you, but you should friend him. And see, so you'll see his stuff because he's got some very interesting political opinions that make me a little nervous.
Oh. Oh, geez. I've got friends who advocate all-out revolution. So, you know.
Well, do you know any of those sovereigners?
What's that?
They call themselves sovereign citizens?
Oh,
like
the guy with
his paddle?
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah,
the only government they recognize is the county sheriff?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you see, you know, a lot of people, that, you know, you think of California, you know, you think of, oh, this enormous state that, you know, is pretty much very liberal and far out and whatever. But it's very diverse because you have the coast, which is quite liberal, and then you have the Central Valley, which is not so liberal. And then you have all of these mountains and forests. And that's like going back to Deliverance. Those people, you don't want to go up there at all. And they're all here. I mean, there's this incredible diversity. And, you know, and
that's
even
a way
in...
That's a way to say it, diversity.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. I mean, there's the... but the liberal... groups on the coast pretty much control everything. You know, they've got the unions and they've got the people, and they're all there. And of course, it's the most expensive place in the world to live. You know, the average house in San Francisco now sells for over $1 million. And I mean,
it's
we're talking.
Joking. How does anybody live there?
I don't know how the hell they... Well, they, you know, they get all that Silicon Valley money. But, I mean, we're talking like a house my size. You know, which I have a small place here, right? And would go for well over $1 million.
So what could you sell your house for?
Right now, 160, 170, something like that.
Yeah, I could sell mine for about... probably about 270.
Yeah, but but they've been going up. I mean, property values here have been doing quite well. But
one of the things, Washington property values, they stayed
pretty
solid.
You got it. Yeah, given location and all that, sure. You know, but
one last thing before we go, I wanted to make sure. The latest in subprime lending, automobiles.
Yes, that's a big one now. I think it's happening
exactly the same way. They'll lend money to anybody, and then they sell the loans.
Right, they package it all together. Yeah, they've been doing that now with not only auto loans, but personal loans, credit card
It's unbelievable.
It's totally sick. It's just, you know, I mean, I probably own some of it in one of my funds, but it's the sickest
idea. Well, anyway,
We're inside the last minute.
I want to wind this up. Thank you so much for calling. This was a great conversation. And do you like Mondays?
Yeah, I like Monday. It's, you know, when you're
Monday's
retired.
Better than Wednesday.
When I don't care about days at all.
Okay, well.
I'm indifferent.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to you.
I know. I like Sundays when football's on, but that's about it.
Did you watch the Bills last night?
Oh, I'll decline to comment.
Okay, anyway, we're just about out of time, and that's all that Norm at Night has brought you, and we are out of here. We'll see you next Monday at 9 o'clock. Thanks for calling.
Take care, Norm.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Fuck.